This is the joint CCNSO GNSO Council meeting in Constellation Room. Start time is 1700, and the end time is 1830 local time on October 13th, 2014.
Just to let to know everybody that Jonathan and Byron are stuck, I believe, on the big stage, and they're making their way over ASAP.
Oh, yeah.
All right, everyone, I think we'll get the meeting going in just a minute or so. So if I could give you a warning that we're about to get going with the joint CCNSO, GNSO Council meeting. All right, everyone, if we could have your attention and get ready for our joint meeting. So we were scheduled for 5 o'clock originally. We scheduled later for 5:15, and it's now 5:30. I think we've got a relatively succinct agenda, so hopefully we can have a productive meeting, but with not spending an unnecessary amount of time on it. Thank you. So really, we've got a relatively familiar structure at this stage, which is obviously a welcome and introduction, and pleased to have both groups here. I mean, we seem to have found a format which works and which is productive. Byron, I don't know if there's anything you'd like to say just before we start working through the... Okay, so we're happy. Byron and I have been doing a double act for the best part of the day in various meetings. John?
Before we start, I would like to wish Alan and Byron a happy Thanksgiving.
We're Canadians, and today is our Thanksgiving. Thank
you. Fellow North Americans, then. you'll have some empathy. Because most of us don't know what Thanksgiving is. Do we, Gabby?
Well, actually, I do know. Sorry for that.
Nevertheless, it's not culturally universal.
No, of course.
Again, it's something that I would be prone to. But I am aware of pumpkin issues.
Isn't that what the turkey is?
My colleague from North America over here thinks that it should be universal. But all right, so we have a couple of progress reports from the community working groups by the co-chairs. We've got the use of names of countries as TLDs and the framework of principles for CWGs. So do we have someone available to talk about the use of names of countries as TLDs? I think we do. Wonderful. Thanks, Heather. I hadn't seen you there.
Welcome, Heather. Let me hand over to you.
Apologies, Jonathan. A bit of a sidebar there as to whether we had slides. I believe that the councils for both the CCNSO and GNSO received at least a week ago a progress report from the cross-constituency working group on country and territory names. If not, please let me know, and I'll make sure that that gets to you. What that report contains is essentially a summary of the work that we've done since forming the group earlier this year. I guess work essentially commenced in Singapore. Really, up to this point, the group has been focused on reviewing the findings and conclusions of the study group on country and territory names that was convened by the CCNSO. We have found that the study group's conclusions remain valid, principally that the use of country and territory names in the domain name system has not changed since the time of that report. And with that as a platform, understanding the use of country and territory names will now progress to attempting to scope issues in relation to the continued use of country and territory names as top-level domains and how that might be addressed. I'm happy to answer any questions that you may have. As I say, our next task is in, I suppose, reaching a determination as to whether a framework can be developed, and if so, how we might even begin to work on such a framework.
Thanks, Heather. So we've had the independent reports at the two meetings. As you say, are there any comments or questions, any responses to any thoughts? John?
This is John Berard. Did I see something from the GAC on country names today, yesterday, and then does this tie into the request that Neustar has made for two-letter second-level domain names?
Thank you, John. Both very good questions. There are, in fact, two parallel efforts in this area. They overlap, if you like. They're concentric circles, but the overlap is not 100%. The GAC initiated some time ago, earlier this year, a working group on issues relating to next round, and part of that working group is a sub-working group, and members of that sub-working group, and that group focuses on geographic names, so GAC working group with a subgroup focusing on geographic names has put together a proposal that was tabled essentially to the community in London and will be discussed again here in Los Angeles on Wednesday at 9:15 in the morning. And that's specifically this proposal put together by particular members of a subgroup of a GAC working group. Now, I say the two efforts overlap, but not entirely, in a sense that if you read the proposal and the members of our cross-constituency working groups have read the proposal, the GAC subgroup proposal, the GAC members authoring this proposal are looking at a much broader set of names, geographic and, if you like, nationally, names of national interest, cultural interest, religious interest, this sort of thing. And indeed, the definition of geographic name covers such things as monuments and rivers and this sort of thing, whereas the scope of our cross-constituency working group is really very narrow. It's country and territory names. One of the things that the study group attempted to do in 2012 was try and understand, well, what do country and territory names mean? But our remit really is national designators and languages that they might be represented in. I would encourage everyone that's interested in this issue to attend the 9:15 session offered by the GAC. What we have done is we've invited the GAC working group members to our country and territory name cross-constituency group, which meets on Thursday at 8 a.m. in Westwood, I believe it is, to try and understand in the spirit of collaboration and communication across the community exactly where we all are in terms of status, what the GAC members who've authored this proposal see as next steps. It'll be particularly helpful, I think, in that session will follow Wednesday's opportunity to provide community feedback to the GAC proposal. And I think it would be useful to understand and acknowledge as a base point that we have two very separate tracks running on this issue and try and understand at least common understandings on this issue. As to the second aspect of your question, John, does it relate to changes within existing TLDs? Not directly.
Comments, questions, any other points? Okay, thanks very much, Heather. John, I think we might be over to you on this next one.
Thank you, Jonathan. First of all, let me ask, has there been any update on Becky Burr's participation, arrival or not? Has she decided to come or not?
All I can say is we had a meeting earlier today in which she was a remote participant, which suggests that she's not here.
Well, I knew that, but Byron, do you have any further insight on this?
My understanding is she's not going to be able to make it
face-to-face,
but will only participate remotely.
All right, well, that's good.
Unless, Keith, do you have more up-to-date information?
The same, but more recently, 4 hours ago, she was still trying to get medical clearance to come, and so she's hoping she's still trying to be here for the morning, but...
Day by day, I think they say in pro sports, yes.
All right, so Becky and I are the co-chairs on the framework of principles of cross-community working groups. We have had quite a bit of fun over the last 6-7 months with the notion of a cross-community working group on cross-community working groups, a bit of a hall of mirrors. But in fact, as we have seen the proliferation of cross-community working groups as almost a default position for decision-making inside ICANN, it's become increasingly important, I think, that we take this even more seriously than we have. The goal here is not to dictate terms. We decided early on, and Alan was a part of those early discussions, that to try and dictate terms would be to set ourselves up for failure. But instead, we are trying to create a guardrail, essentially, a range of potential activities that can help organize, operate, and gain endorsement for the work of a cross-community working group. We've discussed the elements of chartering such a group. We've discussed the membership in such a group. We've discussed, an approach to consensus that is much more in keeping with what the CCNSO does as opposed to the five stages of grief that the GNSO engages in. And I believe that we will be on Wednesday when we meet at 11:30. Yes, 11:30 on Wednesday, that we'll be in a position to take the working group through as if we were A-B testing our software, our program. Do you like this? You like that? Or maybe if you're familiar, if you've been to the eye doctor lately, when they flashes the which is better, A, B, B, C. The idea being that to get a better sense more quickly of the range of activities that we would like to assert as guidelines for the creation. Operation and ultimate endorsement of cross-community working group products. So I would, Alan, if there's anything you want to add as a member of the working group, I'd greatly appreciate it, or you can just take a pass.
No, I think you've covered it. I don't think I have anything real to add. The working group is taking a very pragmatic view that we don't know which communities might be part of some future cross-community working group, and we're trying to be as generic as possible and yet still provide some guidance.
So the only the final thing I would say is that if we are successful, it is pretty clear that the energy for that success has come from the GNSO Council and the CCNSO Council. So while credit is short-lived often, I think for as long as it does live, we can lay claim to some of it.
Great. Have you got a timeline for the work? Did I miss that?
We don't have a timeline for conclusion. Will be a product of our work on Wednesday. If we are successful in achieving as much as I hope we do, then I suspect that by the time we get to Marrakesh, which sounds like a bad Bob Hope road movie, I suppose. By the time we get to Marrakesh, we should be fairly well done with the guidelines. This is not vertical integration.
No, I do take your point about the concern that the groups sort of catching up with developments, but that's no bad thing. I mean, there's real-life experimentation going on, and you know, even if you end up summarizing and capturing that experience that actually works and embellishing on elements of it, doesn't feel like a bad process to me. Any other comments or questions or input on this? Strong feelings about it? Mason? Okay. All right. I take your point and agree strongly that this is clearly work that Chuck got me going on this very early on, and we didn't get it completed as well, so I have to acknowledge his sort of foresightedness in recognizing that this was going to become the issue that it now is, but we seem to have managed to make progress with some of these groups, notwithstanding the fact that we don't have the formal framework, but ultimately I think having the framework is going to set us in the right place. All right, let's move on then to Lars. Is there something I'm missing?
Lars was just concerned because I totally ignored the slides, which is what we're taught to do in making presentations. Don't read your slides, right? So.
All right. I'm lost for words on this one. Perhaps I need a slide. Ah, there you have it. Now, item 3, full stop, hot topics. So we've spent quite a bit of time in two separate sessions today talking about NTIA stewardship transition process and the work of the CWG and enhancing ICANN accountability. Clearly things have moved on as far as in particular the accountability track since this agenda was envisaged. I think it might bore people, at least Byron and I, who have heard various bits of the background and points on this, if we went through it laboriously. I'm tempted to just throw up this into a kind of free-form discussion. I don't know, Byron, if you'd like to frame it any differently, but it seems to me that we could just have the opportunity for any comments or any sort of points in particular of on these. If anyone wants clarification, if anyone feels they've missed the meetings and would like any kind of update, Wolf Ulrich?
Well, for Knoben speaking, I don't need an update, but I have a question to your work in this respect. I saw on the ICANN main schedule that the CCNSO has different meetings, preparatory meetings for these items in a closed room. I was interested to enter there, but it wasn't possible because there were closed meetings. So my question is here, the GNSO also planning well to have closed meeting for their part in preparing for the ANA transition and the accountability and how to match this together? Is that... I don't feel comfortable well to stay in front of closed doors. So that's my comment.
Maybe a comment of clarification for us. Generally speaking, the CCNSO meetings are open to anybody who wants to sit in on them all day Tuesday, all day Wednesday, where we'll be discussing this at some length. I'm not sure exactly what you're referring to in terms of closed-door meetings on this subject.
Just look at the main schedule of ICANN of this. So there's a line of preparatory meetings. There's a C behind that, and there's a link. And if you go to that link, that points you to that to the CCNSO website, which also refers to a closed meeting. Did I misinterpret something? Or
well, I do admit I don't have the schedule memorized. I'm not sure what meeting specifically you'd be referring to. I mean, generally speaking, the CCNSO's meetings are open. I don't know. Bart, did you have a comment specifically on the on this issue?
Yes. Say, CCNSO working groups meetings are generally closed in the sense of that's why they're not really closed, but to enable the working group to make progress. That has been a long-standing tradition of the CCNSO. Maybe you've been referring to the prep council meeting this morning. That is an internal meeting preparation for the whole week. That one is particularly for the council. It is dividing the work along these lines. Again, that has always been traditionally closed. If you're referring to the coordination committee meeting, again, that is a working group that is establishing, and that is, again, a usual working group meeting. The CCNSO meetings themselves, where they feed into and what they are doing, they are generally open. But if you would look in the past, these meetings has always been closed on a working, as these are real working group meetings itself.
Any other comments, questions? So we're all either exhausted or completely clear. Avery.
I just wanted to think out loud for a second on this before it went away. Since in the cross-community working groups and in that whole notion, we always say, and by the way, I apologize for being a terrible member of that group, so terrible that they don't even remember I'm in it. But since we tend to have a notion that each group within a cross-community working group does things by its own normal processes, even if they are completely closed, while it's something we could bemoan and have an opinion on, it doesn't seem like it should get in the way. If that's, I mean, that's sort of the, as people were talking, that was the notion that was going through my mind, is we're always very specific to say, and each group will do it in according to its own procedures. So that would seem to me to therefore mean it was okay, is what I was saying.
Fair enough. Any other thoughts or points in relation to that? John?
This is John Berard. Only to the extent that the first few days of this meeting seems to have created a brand new set of circumstances. I mean, there are different... I'm not even sure that I fully understand how all the pieces fit together. I'm going to talk about that. That's Freudian slip. How all the pieces fit together anymore. I mean, what with Fadi's conversion, sort of like St. Paul on the road to Damascus. Everybody seems to be quite happy now that we've got separation between accountability and IANA transition, and we had the Secretary of Commerce this morning making her claim of commitment to an open internet. So, I mean, it seems to me that there's been a tamping down of anxiety on this issue. Is that, I mean, I haven't been paying as close attention as others who follow internet governance with a passion, but it strikes me that it's in the hallways. There seems to be a lessening of anxiety over this. True or false?
Welcome to California. Look, I mean, anyone else is welcome to. I mean, I think there was clearly was a big change in terms of the accountability work stream, or accountability track of work. Keith, I don't know if you want to say anything about that, but there's clearly been quite a sizable change, and that's been percolating through from Friday night when we first heard about it orally, and then it came out on the wires, on email overnight, and I think that certainly took the sting out of the concern in and around the accountability track. So that's one element, and then, I mean, it's, I guess, one of my personal concerns, which is not strictly to do with this area, but has been about how much senior management, if you like, is focused on the effective functioning of ICANN operations, and in fact also the policy-making function. And Fadi seems to have addressed that and said that's a ongoing key area of focus, and it's got a different level of emphasis to all of the external work. So that, and if others had that concern, that might have, you know, calm things down there. Keith, let me see if there's anything you want to add or.
Yeah, thanks, Jonathan. Keith Drazik. So, John, I think to answer your question, I think the answer is yes, is that I think there is quite increased comfort, if you will, in where we stand today compared to where we were a week ago or even just a few days ago. I think, you know, without getting into the gory details, there has been, I think, a concerted effort among the SOAC, SGNC leaders over the last several months, and I think certainly with others in the community as well, to try to ensure that the process for the accountability discussions in particular are in the hands of the community where they belong, and that the process is structured in such a way that the community, in a bottom-up consensus way, can come up with recommendations that are not unduly influenced by external experts or other structures or mechanisms, and that at the end of the process, the community will be responsible for submitting a recommendation to the board, and that there will be a clear and predictable path for the board to accept those recommendations, ideally. And if in the event, in the hopefully unlikely event the board cannot, that there's a referral practice or a referral mechanism to send it back to the community rather than just cherry-picking or rejecting a recommendation. I think where we were a week ago or a month ago, it was clear to me, and I think to many others in the community, that ICANN was trying to either, or at least the appearance was, to dictate a process that would allow them to influence or control the inputs and ultimately influence and control the output of the process. And I think over the last several months, as a community, we came together in an unprecedented way, putting markers down and basically ensured that the community is in control of this process now. So we have a lot of work to do, and I think there's still a few questions that need some final clarification. But to answer your question directly is I feel a lot better today about this process, and I'm looking forward to getting to work, but a lot better about the process than I did a week ago. So I hope that helps.
Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, Keith. This is John. So I sat in on the beginning of the Fadi press conference with Steve this morning, and the first question was, are you open to a check on the board's decision making? Are you open to that, or is that a non-starter? And Fadi said his response was, "Well, let the community tell us what needs to be done." Steve was a little bit more forthcoming, saying that he didn't really want to set up a another organization or entity that might cause more problems than it would solve. Ultimately, the buck needs to stop somewhere. So I guess it's as I listened to it, it struck me that while we've seen the acceptance of much of what the community has asked for, that I was reminded, being here in California, of Ronald Reagan, President Reagan, whose phrase was "trust but verify." So I think we probably should keep that in mind.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. Keith Drazik again. No, I completely agree with that, the sentiment certainly, and I think the reality is that there's a lot of hard work ahead of us, and that I think we made a lot of progress in securing a process that we can trust, but there's still a lot of work to be done, and by no means are we assured of the accountability mechanisms we may want, and I think that, that fight is still ahead, if you will. You know, if you're talking about the questions of specifically about, you know, some sort of an external body that the board would be subservient to, or an appeals mechanism or a redress mechanism, I think all of those need to be discussed. But my understanding, and I'm not a lawyer, but under California not-for-profit law, the board cannot be subservient to another organization. So we may have our hands tied in that regard. So I think if that's true, then we need to find other ways of an appeal mechanism or redress mechanisms that are perhaps internal to the community as opposed to an external body, but that are, I think, more, I guess, meaningful than what we have today. So, okay. Thanks.
Thanks, Keith. Alan, did someone else have a hand up?
Just a quick comment, and I don't have a magic answer, but listening to Larry in the last session, Larry Strickling, he and they clearly expect some mechanism to cover a board doing things which everyone thinks is wrong. So there's got to be, whether it's a recall process or an overseeing process, they're expecting something.
And also just to add another note before we go to James, is that he also seemed to make it pretty clear that he wanted a consensus view from the community, and that community stretched as far as the board. It included the board rather than the community's recommendations to the board. So that was an interesting nuance that we may not have heard before. James.
Something wrong with this microphone. So just James speaking for the transcript, just to support Keith's latest comments. We actually touched on these issues in ATR 1 and trying to determine what the proper mechanism or structure would be for accountability for the board. And he's absolutely correct. This was covered, I think, in the Beckman report, which was an annex to that ATRT1 report, that body or whatever would then legally become the board if it could somehow overrule the board. Two of the things that we discussed, and I think are also explored in that report, are some sort of a community vote where all the different SOs and ACs could possibly vote, and I think that goes to his point about being accountable to the community itself, or splitting the board into two, one being like a legal board and one being a policy board, and then separating those functions so that you would still be able to provide that oversight without running afoul of California law. So, I mean, all those things were explored, and I think, you know, I'm hoping that this effort will dig up that Beckman report, because I think there are a lot of good ideas and a lot of good things were examined. Some ideas were thrown out for very good reasons. I know Byron's with CIRA. He probably recognizes they have member votes, and we even considered, you know, what that might look like in the ICANN framework. So I encourage them to take a look at that report, mostly because we paid a lot of money for it, and I don't think it went anywhere. So, you know, if we're going to reopen these questions, I think, you know, let's not reinvent the wheel.
But James, I missed it perhaps, but what is the Beckman report? Where did it come from?
Berkman. I'm sorry. And it was part of the first accountability and transparency review team. And it was a very lengthy effort that was supporting the work of that review team. And it ended, I believe, at the Cartagena meeting in December 2010.
That certainly looks like something to feed into the to-be-formed accountability working group. That's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, if nothing else, it's a giant breadcrumb that can help them maybe find their way back to those conversations.
I think we might have got to item 4, which takes us very quickly onto item 5. Let me read the slide. Oh, Thomas. Oh, right.
Oh! John, you shouldn't be laughing, because what I'm going to say affects you. As you will know, John is an outgoing councillor, and he will not further serve as CCNSO liaison, and I just would like to recognize all his efforts. At least I, as a councillor, have felt very well informed, and I knew that this position was in very, very capable hands, so thanks so much.
And I'd like to echo that on behalf of the CCNSO. We have felt very well informed and have benefited significantly from your contributions to our side of this collective house. Thank you. And done it with wit, too.
And at 5 a.m. every time.
Tough act to follow in more ways than one. All right, so reading from my slides, 4.closure, 5.cocktails. Hashtag ICANN51.